a complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and the first clause of verse 42. Luke chapter 10, and the first clause of verse 42. But one thing is needful. But one thing is needful. This 42nd verse of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Dear friends, these are the words which fell from the lips of the dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. They are the truth. And nothing can be clearer, can it, if we are to have a hope of eternal life. One thing is needful. In our daily lives, we have many things which we say and do know are needful. If we are to live relatively comfortably, in a satisfactory way, there's many things that we have need of. And how thankful we have to be when we possess them. One of those needful things is money. The scripture says there's nothing wrong with money. Money is a defence. That word defence in the Hebrew that is translated there also means a shadow, a defence. It shelters us from things which would press hard against us if we were in complete poverty and had nothing at all. So in a natural sense, yes, money is a defence. And dear friends, for that money we have need of occupation. We have need to work and to obtain that which we can use for our daily needs, benefits. And in with money we need wisdom. Wisdom to conduct ourselves, handle the varied matters which come upon us in the circumstances of our life. Oh, if we behaved foolishly, if we squandered that money which we had, dear friends, we'd soon come into distress, wouldn't we? We need to be wise stewards of that which we are granted, and to use it in that right way, yeah, for our own natural, personal, bodily good and those of loved ones. Of course, we have need of health and strength. For without health and strength, we perhaps cannot labour and work and do that which is needful to obtain that which is for the good of our bodies. Dear friends, there's many needs which perhaps we just take for granted when we have them continuously in this favoured land. We soon know the need of health and strength when we have sickness and pain and injury. And it's probably in times like that that we appreciate more health and strength of body when we do possess it. Of course, there's the vital need of food and drink. That which gives us health and strength. Oh, dear friends, what a gift this is of God, isn't it? For our bodily needs. The food of the field. The meat of the animals which God hath said we can eat of. The water we drink from the rain he sends from the heavens. Dear friends, we would not get very far without it, would we? Our daily needs. And then we can have our clothing to clothe our bodies, to keep us from the shame of nakedness. The Lord Jesus says, he knows we have need of all these things. The Apostle Paul, writing, is it to Timothy, having food and raiment, let us be content. Let us be content. Oh, dear friends, if that's all we had, food and raiment, I wonder how content really we would be, having experienced and possessed so many other benefits daily. Oh, dear friends, in all these things, we could go on, couldn't we? Things which we would consider our needs of peace and safety, dwelling in a land where there's no warfare and threatenings and violence, needs of good leaders, of a good government, a wise government. Oh, I failed to pray for our government this evening, didn't I? As our government now opens again for business following the King's speech. And oh, how we must pray, dear friends, for our needs to be supplied. That we shall not come under the influence of ungodliness, the spirit of Antichrist, those dreadful ideologies which many would promote. Dear friends, those that fear God, oh, but there is a need for the spirit of prayer, isn't there? All these things, dear friends, needful in our daily lives. And do not they all come from God? Oh, in everything, the scripture says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Dear friends, if we take so much for granted and complain at the least things that goes wrong, then we're not in a right spirit, are we? Oh, may the Lord give us truly thankful hearts for all that we possess, for we are not worthy of the least of all these many mercies, these benefits, our needs supply. But, dear friends, when we consider these needs, they're temporal. We only need them whilst we're here upon this earth. There's a time for us to be born, and we have been born. There's a time for us to die, and we are yet to die. And our times are in the Lord's hand. Oh, we may do many things to lengthen out our lives, seeking to be maintained in health and strength, and we are thankful for the wisdom that is being given to the medical profession in these days For there are many walking about today upon the streets. If they'd lived 50, 100 years ago, they would be in the grave. And maybe we ourselves, we would not be enjoying the health and strength today if it was not for the wisdom and the benefits of the medical profession. But dear friends, one day we shall die. All these things are only for a time. And the Word of God exhorts us to consider our latter end. Dear friends, we do not know when that time shall come, do we? Or we read what Jesus spoke of the parable of that farmer whose land brought forth plentifully through the good hand of the Lord at that time upon the land and upon him. And he thought he would then enjoy the benefit of all that he had, more than his needs were essentially provided. Oh, say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. All the riches, all his needs supplied for ages to come. But that night he lost his soul. His soul was required by God. His body died. And dear friends, the Lord said, whom shall those things be then that he was going to depend upon? They would go to other people. Dear friends, our possessions, how do we value them? Oh, it's so easy, you know, to have idols and to worship earthly material things as if we could not live without them. But we do not know when we shall have to let them all go and we shall need them no more. We shall want them no more. Oh, dear friends, is the top born, as the scripture says, it's appointed unto us all once to die. And after that, the judgment. The judgment. To stand, to appear before the judgment seat of God. And dear friends, what shall we then say concerning our earthly things? What shall we then say about our benefits that we have received, even of God? What shall we then say concerning all that we've done? Our outward deeds, our outward kindnesses, our outward righteousnesses. Yes, there have been many sins. And dear friends, none of our goodnesses, which we should seek ever to do, will ever blot out and compensate for one of our sins. Our righteousnesses in the eyes of Almighty Holy God, dear friends, they are as filthy rags, as the scripture tells us. We're all as an unclean thing. We've all come short of the glory of God. Dear friends, in that day, what a breach there will be. A breach between our soul and the standard, if I can put it that way, of the holiness of God. We shall not be found acceptable before him, shall we? Oh, we had these 70 who went out to preach. Jesus said to them when they came back, after they rejoiced, that the devils were subject unto them. Jesus says, rejoice not that the devils were subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. The one thing needful. Oh, dear friends, that book of life. Rejoice that your names are written in that book of life. Dear friends, it's only then we can be found acceptable in that last day. The one thing needful. We have that solemn sermon of Jesus on the Mount, don't we? Of those who sought to plead their own works in that day. We have prophesied in thy name. In thy name we have done many mighty wonderful works. In thy name we've cast out devils. And he will say, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Dependent upon their own works, all that they could plead was what they had done, what they had done. Dear friends, the one thing needful is what Christ has done. That our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, dear friends, these are the words of Jesus. One thing is needful, but one thing is needful. If we're to be found accepted before a holy God in that judgment day. What does Paul say regarding that acceptance? He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. His beloved son, of whom he testified of when he was in Jordan's river, and came out, having been baptized of John, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, signifying there his death and his resurrection for the glory of God, for the salvation of sinner's soul. That in him there is a way whereby sinners will be found accepted in his sight. Yes, the travail of his soul, who laid down his life as sacrifice for sin. Dear friends, this word accepted here in the Greek is the underlying word is grace. It's a derivative of the word translated grace. In other words, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, found grace in his sight, in the beloved, in Jesus Christ. Oh, one thing is needful, to know this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to read of it, not just to study it in our heads, not to be able to debate it, but, dear friends, to know the power of that grace within our hearts. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, oh, in the glory of the Father, before the world began, yet for your sake he became poor, to take upon himself, oh, the sins of all his people. Oh, in that agony of his soul which he poured out unto death, all the unrighteousness of his people laid upon him, that ye by his poverty might be made rich. Rich, as the hymn writer puts it, to all the intents of bliss. Dear friends, one thing is needful. To know this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be rule in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. To know this call by grace. And by the Spirit, which changes our heart, renews our will, and turns our feet to Zion's hill. Without the knowledge, dear friends, of that grace, that call by grace, that sound of his voice of love and mercy through Calvary, dear friends, whatever we think of ourselves, we have no hope of eternal life. Oh, Satan is a mighty foe. He will seek again and again to deceive. Oh, we'll point to your goodness. He'll point to the what you do, your outward walk and your head knowledge and, oh, able to judge and discern one thing and another. But, dear friends, there's only one thing needful. That has to pass away, all those other things. It's like the chaff. In the day of the harvest, dear friends, the chaff has been used. It's been useful for the growth of the grain within the ear. It's protected it from much of the environment round about and the wind and so forth. But in the time of harvest, dear friends, there's only one thing needful for the to be gathered in, isn't there? And that's the true corn of the wheat. The chaff has done its job. It's finished. Done its work, it has to be blown away. Yes, our coming to the house of God, needful. Reading of the word of God, needful. Our prayers up unto the Lord, needful. But dear friends, it's the effect, the application, the power of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which through those means and the preaching of the gospel, which is granted unto your never dying soul, that is the one thing needful. Without that knowledge, we must perish. Oh, dear friends, these things search us out, don't they? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. No difference how we need this as we taught to speak a little on the Lord's Day afternoon. A sealer, a pause in the busy scenes of our lives when, yes, we have all these needs and we are exercised in all the management of our circumstances. To stop, to pause. Am I accepted in the Beloved? Am I called by his grace? Am I one with Jesus? One thing is needful. You see, dear friends, that breach between the sin of our soul and the holiness of God can only be made up through the sufferings of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Well, we have in the Old Testament, don't we? The account of the, what is called the Paschal Lamb. Israel in captivity, bound by Egypt. But the word of God came of what they must do. And they believed it by faith, and they obeyed the word, they took a lamb. The Lamb. It became your Lamb in the description there as we follow through that Exodus chapter. Became their personal Lamb whom they slayed. And they sheltered beneath the blood which was then on their doorposts. And there they waited. And they waited for that night to pass. As the angel of death passed over those houses and over the land of Egypt. Dear friends, that blood was the one thing needful to save the firstborn from death. There was no death in those houses in Goshen, but there was everywhere else in the land of Egypt, where there was no shed blood, where there'd be no faith in the slaying of a lamb. And obedience to the word of God. Oh, and so in the gospel, Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Dear friends, he can only take it away by bearing it himself. He came to be the sin bearer, to bear the sins of many, of all that the Father had given him, all of his people, chosen in eternity past. Oh, dear friends, what an abundance of iniquity and sin was laid upon the Lamb of God. Led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. There was no complaining. The nearest he came to complaining was in that garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, let thine be done. Oh, the agony of his soul, as it was poured out unto death under the knowledge, the sense of all the iniquity imputed to him, made sin for his people, to shed his blood there on Calvary's cross. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The one thing needful, the shedding of blood for the remission of our sins. Then, dear friends, that blood is very precious, isn't it? It's very precious because it is not just temporal. It's not a temporal benefit whilst we live upon this earth. It is a benefit whilst we live upon this earth, to be given by the Holy Spirit faith to believe in the Lamb of God for the saving of our souls. Oh, the sweetness in it. When that power is known, that love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And it's not just for time, it's for eternity. Therefore, dear friends, it's precious above all the money and the riches and the benefits we enjoy in this earthly life. It's the one thing needful, that when we come to that judgment day, oh, we shan't have to plead anything of our own selves, shall we? We won't be able to say, we shall not desire to say, I have done this, I have done that. This is how I've conducted myself. I've kept myself from this and I've kept myself from that. No, it'll be just what Christ has done. Jehovah said, Cain, the Lord, my righteousness. The blotter out of all my transgressions, the saviour of my soul. One thing is needful. Then, dear friends, if that's the most precious thing there is to be first and foremost, isn't it, in our hearts and minds. Oh, it's sad when we lose sight of Jesus, isn't it? And his cross, as the hymn writer says, soon we prove it, we fall a prey, our lust and pride, our own selves, by power and in craft, that it is carries us away. Oh, Satan will soon lead us to that way, seeking whom he may devour. There's a throne of grace, isn't there? Through Jesus Christ, where again and again and again we can come. Oh, in the knowledge of our sinfulness, the knowledge of our unworthiness, of our faults and failings, our waywardness. Oh, transgressions which rise up daily, sufficient to cast us into hell. But there, the throne of grace, accepted through Jesus Christ, to pour out our heart, to obtain mercy, and more grace to help us in the time of our need. The Lord Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, the one thing needful. My grace, my dying love, my pardoning love, my death, my resurrection, that I may give eternal life to all that are my sheep, and I am their shepherd. Oh, dear friends, can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. Then, dear friends, you will not want. Oh, in that time of the judgment, all your needs have been supplied through the shed blood of Jesus. On such love my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free. Say, was lost in holy wonder, why, oh why such love to me? Can you say that? That's the effect of the knowledge of the one thing needful, lost in wonder, love and praise. Dear friends, the context here is of this house in Bethany, where Jesus comes and Martha constrains Jesus, and we trust his disciples also, to eat there. Martha served to prepare the meal. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha complained to the Lord Jesus. She wanted help. She was annoyed that her sister Mary was not helping her in this daily task. A good task, needful task, if she was to supply a meal and food to Jesus and his disciples. Her prayer to Jesus was, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Dear friend, she was complaining about an earthly duty, an earthly responsibility, and did not consider, oh, the reason why Mary was not helping her. Mary was at the Saviour's feet. Jesus was there. Oh, she was constrained by love to sit at his feet. Dear friends, Mary knew that influence of the Spirit within her. Oh, she was constrained by love and the need of her soul, sinner that she was, to hear these truths that came from the Saviour's lips. Dear friends, would he not be speaking of the only way, the one thing needful for eternal life, was through faith in his sufferings which he was yet to suffer? As on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah spoke to him concerning the decease which he was to fulfil in Jerusalem for the saving of people's souls. Oh, Mary was constrained to sit at the Saviour's feet. He was there, he was present. She couldn't separate herself from it. But Martha, although Jesus was there, the things of this earth, the things of her earthly duties, responsibilities surmounted that need of her own soul. Oh, dear friends, how often we can be like that, can't we? We can even pray to the Lord, oh, for help, even perhaps in a complaining spirit regarding things that have gone against us in our earthly pilgrimage, in our earthly life, and things of troubles and dislikes and difficulties have arisen, and almost perhaps suggesting, does he not care that we are passing through these difficulties to the disadvantage of our bodily situation, our daily needs, and perhaps complain against another who we think should be our help, and they do not seem to come and apply that help to us? Dear friends, maybe that other one who we're complaining about, maybe they're like Mary, may be there sitting at the Saviour's feet, seeking the one thing needful, the blessing of their soul. They cannot put their mind and attention to the earthly duties at that time. Oh, how careful we have to be, don't we, in the varied circumstances of our lives. We can throw no stones at Martha. Jesus had to rebuke her. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So are you and so am I. But one thing is needful. Oh, may we have these Selahs in our lives. Dear friends, when we stop, yes, things may be against us. Oh, but to consider beyond earthly things to those things that are eternal. Not just the things of our body and our comfort and our benefits, but the essential blessing of our souls that is in Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, to sit at the Saviour's feet. Dear friends, Mary wasn't always at the Saviour's feet. Jesus would go away and then she'd be able then to attend to duties and responsibilities, wouldn't she? Dear friends, oh, how needful it is to pray, to be constrained to be where Mary is, as she came to be at this time, in the midst of our daily lives. Oh, Lord, do come. More frequent let thy visits be, let them longer last. May I know again those moments rich in blessing, which before the cross are spent, or the renewings of thy love and thy mercy to my soul. Confirm that pardon and that peace within. May I gain witness by faith a banner over me is love. Oh, dear friends, that's essential to help us, isn't it? Amidst all the tribulations which we are bound to have in this life, to have again a sweet assurance that there is a home above. Our treasure is above. Oh, the riches of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the riches of that blood far above the riches of gold and silver, the purchase of our soul from its captivity of sin. Oh, to be ever be one with Jesus in eternal life. One thing is needful. Well, dear friends, what are our prayers? Are they first and foremost to know our Jesus crucified? To by far excel all things beside. That's the one thing needful. That's the application, isn't it? When the power of that shed blood rules our hearts, the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The one thing needful. The Lord to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts, to reveal the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, his countenance upon us. Dear friends, there we are lost in wonder, love and praise. And then, dear friends, that's the way we shall desire to be kept in all our days. Yes, kept as the apple of his eye, praying the Lord shall direct us and lead us in the way that we shall go. Guide us with his eye. Keep us in the way everlasting. Keep us from the power of sin. Keep us from the evils of our own heart. Oh, Jesus prayed for his disciples, didn't he? That the Lord would keep them from all evil. Dear friends, these are the things that are needful. Founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, what he's done for our soul, the pardon of our sins through his shed blood, through Calvary's cross, the one thing needful. Those are the ones, dear friends, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ has broken those seals, or whatever those seven seals were. But the book was then able to be opened And we read that was the only thing that saved all those that stood before the judgment seat from being cast into hellfire. All the books were opened, all their deeds, all their faults, all their failings were written. And they were cast into hell. Except those whose names were found in the book of life. Well, dear friends, may this be your lot. Do plead earnestly. That the Lord will not let you continue unless you know it. Assurance of it. May his word, the gospel, be applied in the power of the Holy Ghost. Much assurance that you know you're a sinner. Saved by grace. One thing is needful. Amen.